Well, last Sunday I had the pleasure, and it really was a pleasure, of speaking on a topic that has been very meaningful for me personally, and that is on marriage, particularly the question of why marriage? Why is it even a good thing? What's the big deal? We looked at Scripture, and there's lots of evidence to support why marriage is good. And it seems that 60% of adults would agree. They have been married. God said that it was not good for a man to be alone. God created us. He designed us to have intimacy with someone, that connection with someone. And it's within that context of marriage that we learn what openness and trust really is. It's within the context of marriage that a man and a woman can have children and raise children in godly homes. And like I said, marriage is a good thing. But of course, like anything that's good, and it's created good, it can be abused and misused and turned around and hurt. And we've seen way too many marriages suffer and disintegrate since the 70s and 80s when it seemed to take a nosedive. Maybe that's why statistics tell us that 40% of adults are single. And half of those have never been married. And as I was sitting in the back, I did a quick little calculation in our sanctuary this morning, and there's about 40 to 42% of our people here right now, of our adults here, who are single. And so our church sort of falls right in line with the statistics of our nation. But it's not easy for people who are single. In many cultures around the world, there is an incredible pressure on young people to marry. In many cultures around the world, singleness is frowned upon almost as if, or almost as much as if it was an illness. I don't know if you remember the old TV show, Laverne and Shirley. It was playing back when I was a kid. It was about two young women who were living in, some place, and they were not married. They were just friends there and shared a place. And apparently, when this show was aired in Thailand many years ago, they always had a little, just a little blurb before the show aired explaining that this show was about two women who escaped from an insane asylum. That was their only explanation as to why there would be these two women who were single. That's how they viewed it. If you're single, something's wrong with you. You shouldn't be. And you might think that that's kind of extreme, but in reality, we often tend to portray a similar attitude. And sometimes the church or the Christian community is the worst culprit in doing so. It's easy for us to assume that the ideal situation, because God created marriage, and so it's easy for us to assume that the ideal situation for every single person is to be married, and that everyone wants to get married, and that perhaps the most dangerous thing of all is that if you're not married, that something is wrong with you. And so the questions don't stop. You know, have you found someone yet? When are you going to get married? And I'm bad. I do this too. Don't get me wrong. I'm guilty here. And perhaps sometimes the most annoying is a statement that people make. You know, maybe you're being too picky. We tend to look at singleness almost like an illness, something to avoid at all costs. And yet, we seem to ignore one very simple and significant truth, and that is that Jesus was a single young man. He remained single all his life. If you're sitting here today and you're a single adult, I want you to know that you are not alone. There are approximately 6 million of you across Canada, many of whom, of those 6 million who have never been married. And this morning, I'd like for us to look into Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I want us to focus on some of the verses that Paul is speaking to that pertain to singleness. And before I read this, I want to say that, you know, we need to understand the context of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Paul is writing to a culture that was steeped in sexual immorality, which incidentally doesn't sound a whole lot different than today. He was writing to a people who had come to know Christ, but who were accustomed, it was in their culture, to have all kinds of sexual partners. And so Paul is writing to them, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to read a few selected verses. I'll point to them as we go along. First of all, verse 1, and this is what he says. He says, "Now for the matters you wrote about," he said, "it is good for a man not to marry." Down in verse 7, he says, "I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried, as I am, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion." Going down to verse 25, he says, "Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think it is good for you to remain as you are." Down in verse 32, he says, "I would like you to be free from concern. As an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord, but a married man is concerned about the affairs of his world, of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit, but a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord." Well, let's go back to verse 1. Paul starts in verse 1 there, plain and simple, just lays it out there right at the beginning. He says, "It is good for a man not to marry." Now, you might say, well, that contradicts what you spoke about last Sunday, Norm. I mean, what are you talking about? Last Sunday you were saying it was good. And it is good, and God did create it good, and God did create us and design us for marriage. But what Paul is saying is it's also good for those who are single. Just because one is good doesn't mean that the other is going to be bad. Getting married is good. Yes, that's true, and he'll get to that. But he also says that for the matter, you know, it's good for a man not to marry. It's not a bad thing. It's not some deviant. It's not some failure. It's not something bad. Paul continues in verse 2, "But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband." So right there in the first two verses, he seems to be giving both sides of the picture. It's good for each man to have his own wife, but it's also good for a man not to marry. In other words, either way works. He's saying, what he's basically saying to the single people is, you don't have to get married. Going down in verse 7, further in verse 7, he says something that's remarkable. He says, "I wish that all men were as I am," meaning single. And then he adds, "But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another that." I don't know if you caught that. Not the part about Paul being single or that he wished others to be single, but the implication that being single can be a spiritual gift. Each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. He's implying, and rightly so, that being single can be a spiritual gift. Now that's something we seldom think about. What he's saying is it's not for everybody. But he's saying that singleness for some people can be viewed as a spiritual gift. So much so that he continues in verse 8. He says, to the unmarried, I say it's good for them to stay unmarried as I am. He's being very practical. He's saying that there's good in it. Yes, there might be some different benefits in being married, but he's saying that there's good in being single as well. And he highlights it a little bit more in verses 32 to 35. I would like you to be free from concern. He's very practical. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he will please the Lord. A married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. His interests are divided. And then he explains the same thing for the woman. It's important for us to remember that Paul didn't suggest that it's impossible for a man or a woman who is married to serve God. We know many married people who are faithful in serving God, but Paul's point is that the married servant of God must not only have his mind on the Lord, but also on his family. Marriage doesn't mean that a person can't be used of God. What Paul is saying is that the single person has the advantage. If you're a single person, Paul would say, you got an advantage here. And it's true. There's no point trying to deny it. Some of our greatest volunteers are people who are single. In fact, all three of our daycare volunteers are single. Many young people serving the Lord in places around the world are single. Even those living here in Whitehorse, if you're single, it doesn't mean that you have all the time in the world. You know, no one's implying that you're not busy. In fact, I know single people who are more busy than anybody else that I know. But the point is that Paul is making is that if you are single, you have an advantage because you can change your plans as you need to. You're more adaptable. You're more flexible. You don't need to tell somebody, you know, well, let me check with my husband or my wife, and then I'll let you know tomorrow if I can meet you for coffee or go out for this or do that. The single person doesn't need to check with somebody else. The single person doesn't need to, If the dishes are full of, if the sink is full of dishes, let's get that straight. If the sink is full of dishes and someone calls you out, says, hey, you know, would you meet me for coffee? You can just leave it and go. It's not like you're leaving a mess for somebody else and you don't have to check. And so there are clearly some advantages in that sense, some practical advantages. Married people don't have that freedom. And that's why Paul sees a benefit in singleness when it comes to serving the Lord. And remember, for Paul and for us, the most important thing is how do we serve the Lord? How are we serving the Lord? And Paul says that singles have an advantage on that. Again, that's not to say that married people can't serve the Lord, because they do. But just that singles have that different opportunity. He's saying, look at that. Look at this benefit that you have. Look at this spiritual gift that you have. And yet, in spite of all that, somehow we tend to treat singleness as a shortcoming. And I believe when we do so, we fail. We put pressure on young people to get married. when clearly marriage is not God's purpose for everyone. And that's really the bottom line that I wanted to share this morning. According to the scripture that we've read, marriage is not for everyone. Singleness is not a problem. It is not an illness. Yes, life will be different, but it doesn't mean that it's bad. It just has different strengths and different weaknesses. It has different opportunities. And as far as Paul seems to indicate, singleness is a sign of strength. Strength of character, not weakness. Let's just take one more quick look back in verse 9. Paul writes, and he says, to those who cannot control themselves, it is good for them to get married. If they cannot control themselves, they should marry. What he's saying is the ones who don't have control, the ones who do have control, I should say, are the ones who are strong. They are focused. He says they don't need to get married. The ones who don't, they're the ones, Paul says, they should get married. And so it seems that singleness is a strength. It's a sign of strength. And it seems to me that we ought to celebrate and give more significance to our singles. We have great and elaborate ceremonies and celebrations for people getting married. And don't get me wrong, I love them. I'm all in favor for them. You know, many of you have heard me say I'd love to do 3 weddings this year. So come on and line up. Let's get going here, folks. I'm all eager for that. It's good. It's a wonderful thing, but we must also remember, friends, that singleness can also be a wonderful thing. It could be a blessing. It could be a sign of strength. It could be a spiritual gift. It could be a means for someone to serve God that they would not have in any other situation. In fact, this is the funny part, that there have been many married people who have envied single people. Now, I've got to say, I'm not one of them, okay? Let's just be clear about that. I'm sure you have that figured out already. At least I hope you do. But there are many married people who envy single people. And there are many single people who envy married people. And so it just seems that, you know, each one thinks the other has it better. Isn't that how life is? We're seldom satisfied with our situation, with our circumstances. And really the heart of the matter here is, the truth of the matter is that we need to be content in whatever situation we find ourselves in, whether married or single. We need to look for ways on how we can serve the Lord. Both are needed. Both are a blessing. Both can be God honoring. And as a church or as parents, we need to be careful not to push marriage on everyone. Instead, we need to find ways to celebrate and embrace people for who they are and how they are and for the way that God will use them to serve Him. Remembering that the most important thing in life is not our marital status, but our spiritual status. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You this morning for Your word. It's a word, Lord, that we don't often look at or consider. We just assume that it's always best to be married or whatever. And Lord, we know that that's not always the case. And I pray this morning that we as a church would be a church that would welcome and embrace and encourage our single people to continue pursuing You first and foremost. Whether we are married or single, Lord, our heart needs to belong to You, and our desire needs to be for You. And I just pray, Father God, that You would just help us to encourage and support and love all people who come through these doors, Lord, whether they're married or single, to help each one, Lord, to find their place in service to You, to grow in You, to walk with You, Lord, That is our desire, and to that we commit ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.